Off the Ball, GAA.
But Dublin, at any period in their history, losing to Louth and Westmeath in the same year, it's almost unthinkable. This is like, by any era, Dublin are in absolute, like, crisis at the moment.
Yeah.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
And welcome along to Monday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Ireland are in Grenoble ahead of tomorrow's World Cup qualifier with France. Rusha Littlejohn says the team's ready to make history and qualify for the World Cup in Brazil next summer. And a former Premier League legend loses his job in the Netherlands. But first, Ireland trained in Grenoble earlier on ahead of a potentially historic World Cup qualifier against France tomorrow night. Carlo Ward's side kept their automatic qualification hopes alive with a superb 3-2 win over the Netherlands on Friday. And they know a win would secure a place at next year's World Cup in Brazil. The girls in green have already guaranteed a playoff, but could still top their group with another major upset. Denise O'Sullivan and Emily Murphy are available again after suspension. France are ranked 6th in the world, but Ward says nobody wants to face her side.
Same way as we would have approached it, no matter what. Look, we want to go and try and win the game. When I came in, I said we want to play and compete against these teams, and we've done that tremendously well. But we have to go there and give everything. And honestly, I wouldn't want to play against this Ireland team.
Rusha Littlejohn played 45 minutes in Cork on Friday against the Dutch and is expected to feature again tomorrow against the French. She says both her and her teammates want to cause another upset.
Yeah, look, we've put ourselves in this position. So we've got to believe within our group. I mean, if not, I don't know why any of us would be here, but we've always believed within this team. And look, we've learned the hard way sometimes. But look, we've got ourselves here. So we're focused on going out and, you know, making it a really competitive game. And hopefully we can come out on top. It's not going to be easy, but yes, we do believe that we can make that happen.
There was no fitness concerns reported from this morning's training session. Emily Murphy and Denise O'Sullivan's appearances back in the squad will give Ward some selection headaches. And on this week's Koi Gig, Kathleen McNamee and Scarlett Heron spoke about Abby Larkin in glowing terms.
I thought it was interesting watching the game, Scarlett, because one player that, like, you in particular have mentioned a lot over the last couple of windows as someone who could be really important was Abby Larkin. And obviously she turned out to be crucial in many different ways on Friday night. What sort of, if we are, I hate asking these questions because I feel like we're already jinxing ourselves for like next year, but obviously she's already been to a World Cup, she's already had that experience, she's already had the experience of going through the qualifying stages, but like, what sort of maturity have you seen come with her over the last 2 or 3 years since we were last in Australia?
Yeah, like I think an awful lot, like even look at I think she's on like 35 caps or something now, which is unbelievable for a girl who's just 21. Like, it's insane. And I think that has come from, you know, the likes of Vera taking chances on her. And, you know, taking her to the World Cup was a chance. Like, it was a risk. And she did feature a lot. And I think she did impress. And we have seen her come in and out of the team recently. And I think we haven't really seen the sparks at times that we've seen on Friday night. But I think that was just the performance that has really now put her on a pedestal. I think like Emily Murphy coming out gave her that opportunity, and we spoke about that the other day when we were previewing the game. This gives other girls an opportunity to put their hand up, and like Carla's gonna have a massive headache now choosing this team for Tuesday night, because like, do you drop Abby after that amazing performance, but you also need Emily back in and Caruso as well getting the goal? So it's really, really difficult, and it's what you want as a manager, but it'll also be a massive pain. But I think for me, like, it was just having seen like Abby play up close, like obviously played her for at Rovers before she went away. Like, I think just seeing it up close, seeing the talent she did have, like, it kind of knowing she always had it in her, and we've seen it against Belgium, and then we've seen a very similar finish on Friday night as well. So I think it's just massive credit to her to step up in that moment, because that was a big game. And obviously for a young player, it's kind of, you'll either shy away from the challenge or relish it. And to be fair to her, she took it with both hands, so credit to her.
And you'll be able to hear live commentary of that game on Off the Ball and News Talk and the Go Loud app from 7 o'clock in France. Stephen Doyle will be joined by Kira Grant in the commentary box. Former Ireland midfielder Keith Tracy joined John Duggan on Sunday's football show. They looked ahead to the World Cup and looked back at Ireland's draw with Canada in the early hours of Saturday morning. And with a host of new caps given out to the likes of Dawson Devoy, Adam Brennan and Keane Levy, Tracy wants the players to keep themselves grounded.
Against Canada, some of them are getting their first starts for the Republic of Ireland in Montreal Friday, obviously early Saturday morning for us. You told me off air, you're not 100% convinced by it. Is that correct?
Yeah. And I understand. I don't want to come across as all doom and gloom here. But like, this is I've met Mace Amelia on a personal level, obviously being at St. Pat's and having him with the under-17s for a very short period. He's a lovely bloke. I really enjoy his company. This is absolutely nothing personal against any of these lads. The fact that they're full Irish internationals now, I'll shake the hand and say, congratulations, well done. But please don't walk around like you've made it now, because I've fallen into that trap. And I must have been 20, 21 maybe when I made my Ireland debut. And, you know, all of a sudden you don't have to carry the water off the bush. You don't have to help the physio with the little things. You don't clean up the dressing rooms. And maybe that's gone out of football already. But JD, we can't have Mason Melia, whose last game was for Spurs under 21s, going around thinking he's the maid. He's done it now, because that can't be the case. He's still a million miles away from that first team. And again, nothing personal against Melia. Uma, last game was from Benfica under 19s. He's a full Irish international, JD. He's going to walk back into Benfica and be like a peacock, and rightfully so. His confidence will be sky high, but don't forget, you're still a kid. You're still learning. Although you've reached the pinnacle for Ireland, you haven't even played a professional game at your club yet. So I just don't know whether the reward at this time for those lads was the best thing. It's very exciting. I'd love to disconnect and go, it's great to see all these young lads getting blooded and everything else, but I just feel I've been down that path, and it put a fire out in me when I thought, I've made it, I've cracked it here. And I played against Argentina in a friendly, and I thought, well, if I'm on the pitch with these lads, I'm on a level with these lads. And that wasn't the case for me, and that isn't the case for these lads now. And I'm sure the likes of Seamus Coleman, and I'm sure Hamer Halmerson himself, is saying to the lads, this is a reward, we want more, this should be the start of something, not the end of something. And I hope that's the case.
On this week's Sunday Paper Review, Adrian Barry was joined in studio by Sue Ronan and Paul O'Hare, and the issue of players declaring their national allegiance was a hot topic in this week's Sunday Papers.
And they made that decision themselves, so yeah, it's a difficult one, but I do think it should be the decision of the player.
Yeah, like the context of the John Martin quotes about Conor Bradley, I was at that press conference in the Aviva Stadium, I was probably a month or so ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, and it was his first press conference as the new director of football for the FAI. And it wasn't that he came out kind of banging a drum on this topic, it was, you know, the formalities of the presentation he did on a whole range of topics. This one didn't come up in it. For the wider sort of press conference in the auditorium, it was more so when we went into the breakout rooms outside, and you sort of sit down, and TV cameras, radio microphones are gone away. It was sitting down with newspaper journalists, and sort of we had a bit of a longer sort of sit down with them, and things were teased out. And this issue of dual sort of nationality, it just sort of cropped up. So it wasn't necessarily a case that. I know his comments have irked Michael O'Neill. It wasn't necessarily a case that John Martin had come out
to present
this, yeah. And this is what we're going to do. But it was just a conversation in tandem with, you know, Aidan Price going in from Shamrock Rovers to be the new head of Talent ID in the FAI, and just sort of earmarking a lot of these players that will be eligible for Ireland. And maybe the line in that Paul Rowan piece is right in terms of going back when Conor Bradley was a bit younger and the whole process of trying to co-host the Euros, maybe there was something in that, yeah. And they didn't want to rock the boat. But John Martin basically saying that if we don't ask the question, at least, mm-hmm. of an Irish player, and that was really the crux of it. It's he didn't really sort of veer into how hard are we going to go after people, how sort of roll up the sleeves and get down and dirty about, yeah. how we go about approaching these players. It was more just, if we don't ask the question, we're not doing our jobs. And that was kind of the gist of what he was saying. Yeah,
he says, the quote here is, asking the question is the bare minimum we should be doing. Mm. The Martin O'Neill quote around the time you mentioned, Sue, about Declan Rice particularly. I played Declan Rice 3 times in 3 friendly games. He was terrific in the game. It's as simple as this. Declan Rice wanted to play for England. You cannot coerce people. You cannot just bring them into the national game and tie them to a country. So if you reverse engineer that, then the same surely applies here, that, like, listen, I don't know if it's there's probably all ends of the scale here where John Martin or whoever it is in the FAI makes the call to the player themselves, maybe if they're of a certain age, or to the parents and says, look, just so you know, we'd be madly interested in player X coming to play for us. Are you open to a conversation about that, or are you happy to crack on? At the bare minimum, Michael O'Neill can't rail against that idea.
And if you want to hear that back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Daily podcast feed. And Football Daily on Off the Ball is brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst. Now, the World Cup begins this Thursday with the opening game taking place at the Aztec Stadium in Mexico City. Mexico hosts South Africa. Portugal are one of the favourites with the likes of Bruno Fernandes and Bernardo Silva in their squad, as well as the Champions League winning pair of Vitinha and João Neves. However, Cristiano Ronaldo still looks to be the focal point of the attack at 41 years old. And Keith Tracy says he's still worth his place in the team.
I don't think so. I would like to have him there. If I'm in that Portuguese team, I want him there. Because it's a legend within your ranks. He scored 8 World Cup goals. He's only one behind Eusebio. So he will be chasing that as a personal record. And I don't really think that that's a negative. If you've got a goal scorer on the pitch that thinks, all I want to do is score goals, people like to highlight it as a negative. Okay, maybe he won't run around and win the ball back for you, but I don't think Ronaldo's really done that since he left Manchester United, to be honest with you. So that's just the way Ronaldo is. And for all these people that say, well, he's 41 years old now, he can't be contributing that much. He scored 25 goals in his last 30 games for Portugal. So he still hits the net. And I know people are saying, ah, that's Ronaldo. People are putting it on a play for him. He occupies centre-halves, and if you're a centre-half that looks at the Portuguese team sheet, you roll your eyes when Ronaldo's there, you know, not that fella again. Because he might not do an awful lot, but there's little moments in games where he just comes alive, and he's still one of the best finishers around. I know people will be saying, how much Saudi Arabian football are you watching, Keith? I've watched enough highlights of Ronaldo to see that he can still finish within the confines of the 18-yard box. He's still decent from set pieces. He won't run around like a lunatic, but you know, João Neves, Vitinha, Silva, Fernandes, those boys can do all that stuff. And when the ball needs to be put into the back of the net, they've got one of the best lads in the world at doing it. I don't fancy them, though. I just don't fancy them. Maybe it's soft underbelly. I don't know. I just think if a team gets on top of Portugal, Portugal will stay there and go, yeah, okay, you've beat us.
Like Morocco did the last World Cup.
Yeah, I just don't see them fighting back. You know, if they turn up and they click and it's nice and they get on top of teams, then okay, everything be rosy in the garden. But if a team, even a lower team like us, Ireland, put it up to them, and I know there's little caveats, they were already through and this and that and the other. I just think when a team are combative and a little bit more physical and get about them, they go shine. They think, oh, well, this is not the way to play football, and they stick their bottom lips out a bit. You know, they have the talent to go right the way, JD, and with Congo, Uzbekistan and Colombia, they got every chance of getting out of the group. And I think the supercomputer agrees with me, because they've given them a 7% chance of winning the World Cup.
Also over the weekend on Football Saturday, Owen Doyle and Greg Cunningham joined John Duggan, and Doyle was impressed with the detail the Guardian has put into their World Cup preview.
I came across the Guardian have done a piece on every single player in the World Cup. It's excellent, John. All 1,248 players. And yeah, they've done them in each squad. So you can just click into each squad, and then if you hover your mouse or you click on the profile of the player, it has a little bit of information on the player. And I came across Nico Williams. It's brilliant. Talks about him nearly signing for Barcelona, struggling with his groin all year. He has a brother called Inaki who played for Ghana in the 2022 World Cup. Then it goes on to say, Nico's mother Maria was pregnant with Inaki when she and their father Felix set off from Ghana and walked barefoot across the Sahara in search of a better life in Spain. I was like, oh, this is amazing. Like all these little facts you're seeing about the footballers out there. So I was going through the England squad then and came across Elliot Anderson talking about, he's obviously a Geordie, had to sign for Forest due to the PSR rules. He said, and he's another graduate of the famous Wall's End Boys Club alongside Alan Shearer, Peter Beardsley and Michael Carrick. His older brother Will appeared on the 11th season of Love Island, entering the villa on day 12 and being dumped on day 37.
That is 2 weeks.
These are the stats that we want. These are the stats that we want.
Incredible research from The Guardian, I have to say.
Incredible, yeah. They've got a little snippet of information on all 1,248 players.
He's got a more famous brother then.
He's got Leandro's the more famous brother, yeah. The Guardian have pulled out a banger here for Memphis the Boy. He's also known for his fashion, his music career, his in-play white headband and his skill move, standing on the ball with both feet. Memphis the Boy is now playing for Corinthians, by the way, in Brazil. He did it during a Corinthians game against Palmeiras last year, resulting in a mass brawl. Brazil's FA later said the move would be a yellow card offence in the future because it represents disrespect to the game.
And if you want to hear either of those pieces back, you can do so now in your OTB football podcast feed. Remember, click in your podcast feed and you won't miss a single thing. Brazil have called up Atalanta midfielder Ederson, who is set to join Manchester United. He's replaced the injured Wesley in Carlo Ancelotti's World Cup squad. Ederson is set to move to United and comes in for the Roma fullback in the 26-man squad. 26-year-old Ederson has played 3 times for Brazil and will join his international teammates in the US today. Brazil are in Group C and kick off their World Cup campaign on the 13th of June against Morocco. They'll also face Haiti and Scotland. Robin van Persie's been sacked as Feyenoord boss after 15 months in the role. The former Arsenal and Manchester United striker was appointed at his boyhood club in February 2025 and finished second in this season's Eredivisie. Prior to last season, Feyenoord had recorded top 2 league finishes in just 2 of their previous 11 campaigns. However, they did finish 19 points behind the champions PSV Eindhoven. And Denmark's team doctor says that he spoke with Christian Eriksen earlier today and he's in good spirits. The 34-year-old is set to be discharged from hospital later on. Denmark's friendly with Ukraine was abandoned yesterday when Eriksen collapsed in the second half. The former Tottenham and Manchester United midfielder previously suffered a cardiac arrest during the Euros in 2021. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan and I'll be back with more tomorrow.
Football Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.